Well, it's great to be here with you, and we've got a great show for you. Dennis McCann is joining us first. He's got a book out called This Superior Place, which is not about Superior, surprisingly. It is about Bayfield. Would you welcome, please, Dennis McCann, ladies and gentlemen. And there he is. That's him. How are you? Good to see you. How's things?
Very well, thank
Pretty
you.
Pretty good? Still golfing and everything?
A couple times this week, yes.
Just a couple times?
Yes.
What is your handicap, by the way, besides golfing?
It's higher than it should be this year. It's gone up a couple strokes.
Do you ever run a semi-pro tour or pro tour?
No. Avid is different than
ladies,
being good.
Ladies pro tour, anything? Nothing?
I'm open to that.
Yes, but they're not. That's the only problem. And, of course, you had this book, Badger Boneyard, which is really cool, too. There's the eternal rest of the story.
That one took a lot of digging, yes.
Took a lot of digging. And around here, too? What did you find around here?
The cemetery from Bayfield is included in that book.
Yeah.
Because of the cemetery, it was up on a hill like many things in Bayfield. And when the flood came through in 1942, it washed out the cemetery. Opened up graves, opened up boxes, and made a mess.
Okay. But it was nice to see him again. In some cases, probably not all cases. You know.
They didn't recognize everybody.
I bet. No, that's really upsetting, actually, when that sort of thing happened. Anything about the Bayfield Cemetery of note that you can recall offhand?
Well, I just find a lot of cemeteries interesting to walk through because of the...
Why do you, by the way?
Why do I?
Yes.
Through the years at the newspaper, I got a lot of stories out of cemeteries that way. Just find odd things or interesting names and go from there.
Yeah. And in Bayfield, who do we have?
A lot of Nelsons up there, Ericsons.
That's surprising.
Fishing families.
It's all Nelson, then they have et cetera. By the 10th gravestone, it just says et cetera. Okay, anyhow. Oh, I do have a map here, actually. Shows some of the graveyards around here. On La Pointe, Medellin Island, Bayfield, and Washburn. Those are the three around here. Closest, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Some good stories there, I bet. What is? Oh, and here's this thing I saw, too. I just have various things about you that seem to turn up all the time in the paper. You're golfing what? On a glacier, it looks like. Best course ever won't last long. Do you remember this at all?
That's quite an old story, I believe.
Yeah. Do you remember where that glacier was?
That was ice golf on Madeline Island this year.
Oh, ice golf. Yeah. Is that a big thing on Madeline Island?
Well, it's a fundraiser. Like most things, they put a little course out on the ice and dig some holes and play golf in the snow and ice make a little money.
Any golfers ever fall through?
No.
No. Okay. Okay. Well, that's not important then either, apparently. Okay. Let's talk about the Superior Place.
Okay.
I did some reading, actually, on Bayfield, and actually it was a plot by some Philadelphia financiers or something, isn't it, to sell plots out here and to sell land? It was a land thing.
Well, like most communities, there were people with big dreams that came along, and in 1856 they started this little town, built the first cabin, and they had grand dreams of becoming a great port on a great lake. They rivaled Chicago or Superior.
Yeah.
And by 1857, there was a financial downturn, and none of that ever happened. So
the Panic of 57.
Correct.
I remember it well.
Correct. And a lot of dreams came crashing down. One of the issues they had when Bayfield was founded was that in order to grow, people had to get here, and there were no roads. The railroad wouldn't come for 27 years. Oh, yeah. And you could only arrive by boat when the water was open. So it was a geographic problem.
Geographic problem. But I saw the prospectus, I'm sure you have too, from the Historical Society has it, Philadelphia guys were trying to sell, and they were extolling the virtues of living here, that it cured all your diseases.
That's a wonderful document.
Yeah.
Right? It's impossible to fail at farming in Bayfield.
Yeah, impossible to fail at farming.
You can grow potatoes as big as Ireland.
Yeah, and a radish the size of your head.
Yes, and they talk.
How do you eat a radish the size of your head? It's impossible.
And of course, they had to talk about winter. They couldn't ignore the elephant in the room. So they said that it never rains from November to April. Right. And while you do get a lot of snow, it does even out the roads. So.
Yeah. And the lake stays surprisingly warm.
They said it's the time of hilarity for the older folks in town.
So. Time of hilarity, yes. For various causes.
No one was laughing this May when we were still getting a foot of snow on May 2nd. But.
Yeah, that's different. Now, you yourself, it's like a love affair. I mean, are you from Milwaukee?
Actually from Janesville, originally.
Okay.
Went to high school in Madison.
So. All right.
I worked for the Milwaukee paper for 25
years. Milwaukee Journal, as it used to be called?
Yes.
In the good old days? before it got hyphenated?
Correct.
And then they should call it one or the other, don't you think? I hate it when they hyphenate newspapers.
Well, for some of us, it's always going to be one or the other. But
yeah. But and then, when did you start coming up here? And how did
my wife and I came up for the first time in either 1981 or 82, and we met a friend on Madeline Island, went over and had a glass of wine on the pier of the place that she was staying, and saw the sunset over the mainland and said, where has this been all our lives? And yeah. So we came back the next year and the next year, and I think we've only missed one 4th of July on Madeline Island since that time. And when you start coming up in winter, then you know that you're hooked. And so we eventually built a house. And
I bet those parades are pretty good on Madeline Island.
Well, it's gone a little bit upscale since the beginning.
No kidding.
It used to be really down-home Americana kind of thing. You decorate your dog and walk him down the street.
Yeah.
And you can still do that. People yeah. do that. But now they actually have floats and a marching band that forms 15 minutes before every year. And,
yeah.
It's the best parade in the North, and it would rival anything in Superior or Chicago.
Yeah, so. You know what I like about Madeline? Tom's burned down. You know, you can drink with your dog. Most places you can't take your dog to in the tavern with you.
That's correct.
And even give him one if he's up for it. You know, depending on the breed. Okay, so in the beginning, and tell us more about the beginning and how things actually started to work out. And it's never taken off population wise.
No, I mean, it's been a little bit bigger than it is now,
yeah.
but it's limited by geography and, as you say, by the ability of people to make a living.
Yeah.
That used to be bigger when the fishing was at its peak. Bayfield's economic history is sort of a series of booms and busts, essentially. Mm-hmm. I mean, if you go back far enough, it was the fur industry on Madeline Island,
right.
and then that ended, and then came lumbering, and they lumbered like crazy until that was all gone.
Yeah.
Some of that even continued into the 1950s on the islands, but that's where they had to go because it was all gone on the mainland.
Yeah.
There was a brownstone boomlet where they were building brownstone buildings, apartments, and things.
A lot of that went east, though, because these
yes,
guys,
yes.
Philadelphia and such places, brownstones.
Correct.
That's from here.
That's correct.
Yeah.
Lake Superior brownstone.
Yeah.
And then also fishing became the big thing. And it had always existed, but French Canadians were the originals, after the Native Americans, of course. And then the Scandinavians started coming in bigger numbers. And uh-huh. they would come from coastal communities in Norway, for example. And
yeah.
they'd recognize the territory, and they'd recognize the work. And so that became the big thing.
Yeah.
There was one old fisherman tells when the Norwegians would come into New York Harbor, they would pin a Booth Fisheries tag on his back, fill his pipe with snuff, and send him to Bayfield. So.
Yeah. That's a good story. Any more to it? Or just
that's it.
So the fish are still there. How come the fishing industry isn't?
Well, there was a combination of things, but it was a lot of it was overfishing. There used to be a huge, huge herring fishery
herring,
up here.
Herring, yes.
And that got overfished. Whitefish took a toll with predators.
I saw one quote. I think it was in your – yes, it was in your book. It said that they didn't get rid of the smell of herring until Christmas.
Right, but it would also pay for Christmas.
It also paid for Christmas, so. Trade-off with herring.
That's
smell,
right.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so it exists today. It's much reduced in scale, and it's much more regulated. So mm-hmm. there's still whitefish and lake trout for everybody for dinner, but it's...
Yeah. But there's an abundance of sea lamprey.
They're under control, but it's always a balancing act, sure.
Are those? Can you eat those? If you could make them edible, I think we'd have a solution.
Have you ever seen one?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're disgusting looking things.
No.
But a lot of stuff we eat is, if you actually see it. Yeah. That's why I never want to see anything I'm eating. You know what I mean? Like, John last night had the whole white fish at Maggie's, and I couldn't even look at it. You know, he had to turn around and eat it. And I had the filet, and it's perfectly fine. It's a filet. Same thing, but you don't have to see it looking at you. When you're, that sort of thing. What were we saying?
Yes. I have no idea.
But the walleye, I guess, walleye fishing is still good, isn't it?
I'm not a fisherman, so I don't know how much walleye there is in the lake.
How's the walleye?
It's much more of an inland fish than Lake Superior.
It's Lake Superior, obviously. Who would even say that? Okay. All right, so now we got the fishing industry and all that stuff going on there. So what's going on? Let's say around the turn of the century, the 20th century.
Well, that was still some lumbering at that time and fishing. So those fishing. Overlapped. But.
All right, let's say a little later than that.
All right.
Take us through the development.
When the fishing declined in the 1950s and 60s, the city lost population, and there were a lot of people without
It went from 512 to 488, is that right?
Well, I think it was actually over 600 or 700 at the time.
Okay.
We've had our peaks, you know. So.
Where did they go? Do we ever track these people who left?
I don't know that anyone ever has. And that population, by the way, is deceptive.
Has left?
Because that's the city of Bayfield with 400 and some. There's the town of Bayfield and the town of Russell. So we've got a metro population of 2,500. So.
Okay. All right. Time to cut back.
But after fishing kind of declined, the national park had not been created, but had been debated for a long time.
Oh, yeah, right.
And so they brought John Kennedy up here, the president, in 1963.
John Kennedy, the president?
Yes, there? And flew him over the islands as part of Gaylord Nelson was involved in this, of course. And there's various stories that they salted the lake with sailboats so that he would recognize it as Hyannisport and Cape Cod. but they did fly over the, and then he landed in Ashland and gave a talk at what is now Kennedy Airport in Ashland.
Wow.
And that was shortly before he was killed. So, yeah, but it was the start of the movement that led to the creation of the National Park.
And Gaylord Nelson was
And Gaylord Nelson was involved, obviously. He's pretty much the father of the National Lakeshore here. And that, of course, for people
who's the mother, do we know?
Or? We don't.
No.
And for people who aren't familiar, it's called a national lakeshore because it's on the water and includes coastal land as well as the islands.
Because it is a lakeshore, in other
Correct.
Words. Yes, okay. There's your old journalistic tendency showing up.
They don't very often anymore. But.
Yeah. Now, but you know, as a go-to recreational place, I know they tried to get that to happen. They wanted to get visitors back in 1856 or whatever that thing was, right? But was it Calvin Coolidge spent a lot of time?
He spent a full summer in the north. He moved the summer White House to Superior, the old Central High School.
Yeah.
And he fished.
What was with that? How did that come about?
He was a lame duck. He was not running for re-election.
I know he was
and
a lame duck.
He actually,
I mean, why did he come to Madeline?
Because he was a fisherman. He was a terrific fisherman. Okay. He wanted to fish the Brule River, and he did. And he traveled around the north and came to the island and declared it this beautiful place. And he was so happy here that he blew off the Republican convention that year that chose his successor. Didn't even go to it. So
no, there's no point, apparently.
That's a real testament to Bayfield. You know,
and a testament to his candidacy, I think.
That's right.
So the only good thing Coolidge might have done was that to make this a spot on the map. This, after that,
right.
was a sea change, wasn't it?
Well, there was. I mean, Bayfield had to re-examine itself after fishing declined and really moved into tourism at that point. When the park was created, kayaking began to appear, and there's many, many more sailboats now, many more marinas that all along the lake. And so people do come up, and there's probably more people staying on their boats any given night than there are living in the community. So it's a much busier summer than you might expect for a small place.
Yeah.
And then the artists arrived. And once the artists arrived, one thing sort of fed another, and people came to buy art on their vacation. And so it just became a tourist destination.
Tourist artist destination.
Correct.
So you can have an artist cleaning your cabin.
And serving your whitefish and everything else.
Well, that's cool. That's a cool thing. And of course, the Apostle Islands themselves are quite unique and special. And
right. There's 22 islands. 21
22,
of them
and
are...
And not one of them is an apostle.
That's correct. But as
What's
I point out...
What's the deal
in,
with that?
Well, as I point out in the book...
St.
You know,
Otter? I don't think so.
There have been various names attached to the islands through the years. They weren't always known what they are now. There was once a proposal to make them the federated islands, and everyone would be named after a state. And, of course, Michigan Island is still there. But they've worn different names, but 21 of them are in the National Lakeshore. Madeline is the only one that's not part of the National Park because it has the permanent population.
Oh, yeah. Humans, as actual humans.
Correct. So there are 21 Apostle Islands, but there's 14 teams in the Big Ten, so...
Yeah. That's another story. Don't get me started on that. Rutgers? Come on. Oh, my God. What are they? The Red Knights? Blue Knights.
Knights of some color.
Blue Knights and Lonely Days, if you ask me. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. And today, let's take us right up now to modern Bayfield and Bayfield County and Washburn and Ashland. Ashland. Ashland gets left out of the equation.
Well,
extol Ashland for a moment.
Ashland is, like all of the communities along here, it gets its life from the water. It doesn't embrace it with the fishing that Bayfield has, for example. And now the last of the ore docks is going down, which is a very sad story. Because,
it is.
Not that it was used and it was falling apart, but it's this beautiful monument to the past.
Yeah. And you could take your car out there and get it washed. Isn't that true? I read somewhere it says car wash day, and they would drive their car out on, when the waves are really lapping over the thing, and drive the car out, and then one way gets one side, coming back, gets the other side. And can anyone verify that? Yes, that happened? Washburn City Dock? Okay. Well, there you go. So, sort of wrong.
And there's a high school kid asking for $5 when you drive away, right?
It's a fundraiser. What are you going to do?
But the thing about the communities up here is in the winter is that there's a real make-do spirit. I mean, there's stock car races on the ice in Ashland.
Yeah.
It's kind of
Really?
Yeah. They'll make a rink out there, and I think they use studded tires. I haven't taken part in this.
Yeah.
But you'll see them. If you spin out, all you do is hit a snowbank, and you get back up and go.
So. But can the airboat guy, can he make a living? I mean, that's not a long season.
Well, it's a necessity, so you don't do it because you make a living.
You'd have to charge a fortune, though, because you work for 2 weeks or something like that.
Well, and it's getting more uncertain how long the ice road lasts, if it does at all. There's been 2 years now where it hasn't opened at all, so the wind sled, as it's called, has to run a lot longer.
Yeah.
Some people won't take it. My wife would not get it.
Anyone here have the wind sled concession? How's that going? Okay.
They're islanders. They're.
That's great. Well, the book is great. It's called The Superior Place, Stories of Bayfield and the Apostle Islands. And you are dedicated full-time here now. Is that true?
We spend part of the winter in Madison. We go south.
Oh, you do? Thanks very much, Dennis McCann. This Superior Place is the book. And it's published by the Wisconsin Historical Society Press. So there you have it. Hey, guys.
Yeah, I was walking by the Coast Guard station, and they have a wind sled down there.
Oh, they do?
Yeah.
Sits most of the year.
Probably does. I was wondering, like, when are they? Oh, then I thought, oh, probably.
Yeah, how would you make a wind sled? I mean, if you invested in one, because I'm thinking about what I can do up here, obviously. So maybe.
I first thought,
me a wind sled, but it's. I don't think. How could it pay?
I thought, it's like there's swamps around here that they have, and then. Yeah. No, that's not it.
When the ice is a little mushy, I guess. Right? Is that when it would go out? Too. And you might fall through.
Yeah.
Like the house, the famous house that fell through. We talked about last time. So don't take your house out there on most days. Okay. Introduce, we have a new drummer here.
Well, yeah, Joe Linzius is on drums today.
Solid Joe Linzius.
Solid Joe Linzius.
This is.
And of course, as always, we got Mr. Fast Fingers, Little Hands of Stone, Jeffrey Hammond on bass.
I didn't know any of those.
And this is a little tune called Stan's Blues.